Erica Payton from the University of Toledo.
So good morning. My name is Erica Payton, and I am a doctoral student at the University of Toledo, a second year student. Today I'm going to be presenting on a study that I worked with along with Dr. Shi under his guidance and mentorship. He's also here today as well. I'm looking at grade cohort trends and sexual activity among adolescents from 1991 to 2009. So we'll go ahead and get into the background information. We know that adolescents who are sexually active are at a greater risk for unplanned pregnancies. I don't know why it's doing this. So we know that they're at a greater risk for unplanned pregnancies, acquiring HIV, and other sexually transmitted infections. So, for example, we're looking at recent statistics from the CDC. We know that about 400,000 young women become teen moms. Also, when we're looking at acquiring HIV, we have about an estimate of over 8,000 young people who are diagnosed with HIV. And when we're looking at the 19 million people who come with some type of sexually transmitted disease, about half of those are young people. So the purpose of our study was to describe current trends of sexually active high school adolescents from 1991. I don't know why it's doing that. From 1991 to 2009, using data from the YRBS. So the Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance engages in repeated observations of the same variables over long periods of time. We know that to be longitudinal analyses. And these analyses are based upon the same grades across the years using data from the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, or also known as YRBS. This study attempts to analyze this data using 9th and 10th grade cohorts. So for the significance, now what I want to do is I just would like to illustrate data analyzed using 9th and 10th grades, looking at the same course of time versus data using 9th and 10th grade cohorts. So if you look, we have a chart here that's looking at 9th and 10th grade cohort sexual activity. And when you look at that, it actually looks like there's pretty steady or even maybe a downward trend in the latter years. However, it must be timed, so you'll have to bear with me. You never know with technology. But okay, so when you're actually looking at the charts using 9th and 10th grade cohorts, now you can actually see there's not really a downward trend, but we actually have an upward trend, and both are 9th and 10th grade cohorts. So for a little bit more about our methods, we use YRBS data, which is collected every 2 years, on reported sexually activity among adolescents from 1991 to 2009, but we did this analyzing it using grade cohorts. The YRBS is a nationally school-based survey of 9th and 10th graders. They use a rational weighting procedure, and this allows for there to be national representativeness. So based upon that, we know that 9th graders can be ecologically comparable to 11th graders within the following 2 years. And this is also the same when we're looking at 10th grade cohorts. We use the definition provided by the YRBS for sexual activity or being sexually active, which they define being sexually active as having sexual intercourse with at least one person during the 3 months before the survey. We also examine the gender, race, ethnicity specific grade cohort trends using the prevalence rates of being sexually active in the 9th and 10th grade cohorts. A grade cohort can be defined as students enrolled in a grade from a given year. But when you're looking at 9th grade cohorts, we defined it as data collected from a group of students in the 9th grade and data collected from a group of 11th grade students 2 years later. And we did this based upon the national representativeness of the data. So basically, it's like looking at 9th grade data and then looking at data 2 years later as 11th graders and saying that because of the representativeness, we can say that this was the ninth grade trends. 2 years later, this is what the trends were thereafter. It's also the same when we're looking at our 10th grade cohorts as well, as far as the way that we defined what a 10th grade cohort would be. So my slides are moving faster than me, but when we're looking at the results, we start off with our grade cohorts for white males. In general, the prevalence rates for sexual activity among ninth grade cohorts, they started at about 20%, and then 2 years later, it was about 35%. 10th graders also experienced an increase when we're looking at our 10th grade cohorts for white males. They started at about 25% and ended almost 50%. And I also have some pretty little gizmos to show you how there is an increase in all of the 10th grade cohorts. So for our grade cohorts for white females, they also, surprisingly enough, had an increase when we were looking at the prevalence rates of sexual activity among ninth grade cohorts. They started below 20%, but then it did grow to about 40%. And then when we're looking at the average for 10th grade cohorts for females, they started a little bit higher at about 30% and then grew to 50%. So grade cohorts for black males. When we're looking at all other race and gender-specific grade cohorts, they experienced the greatest prevalence rates of sexual activity. When we're looking at our ninth grade cohorts, they had a starting rate of about 46%, so that was a pretty big difference. And then it ascended to slightly over 60% for in the ninth grade. Now when we're looking at 10th grade, we also had an increase as well. With our 10th grade cohorts, they started at about 55%. And ascended to 68%, so almost 70%. However, something interesting happened in 1997. We did see a decrease in the prevalence rates of sexual activity among black males, but then it did increase thereafter. So we're really not sure what happened with that, but we thought that was kind of an interesting finding. Black female grade cohorts, they also had higher prevalence rates of sexual activity compared to white, female, and male grade cohorts, along with Hispanic or Latino, female, and male grade cohorts. But their average starting rate of sexual activity in the ninth grade for ninth grade cohorts started around 30% and increased to about 50%. And in 10th grade, it was slightly under 48% and then grew to 63%. For our Hispanic males, when we're looking at the prevalence rates or the average prevalence rate of sexual activity, ninth grade cohort Hispanic males started around 30% and then increased to 42%, followed by our 10th grade cohorts of Hispanic males. They started a little bit over 36% and then increased to a little bit over 50%. Female grade cohorts for Hispanics. We're looking at the increase for ninth grade cohorts. It was around 20% and then went to 40%. Our 10th grade cohorts were about 31% and then increased to a little bit over 50%. So this is our big chart of results, which really kind of highlights everything in a nutshell that we went through previously, looking at our average starting and average ending for both ninth grade cohorts and 10th grade cohorts. But white female ninth grade cohorts, they had a 132.11% increase in sexual activity. So out of all of our gender, race-specific grade cohorts, they actually had the largest percent of increase in the proportion of sexually active adolescents, followed by Hispanic females. So for our conclusions, we have several conclusions that we drew from this study. One of those being that longitudinal analysis by grade cohorts provide ecological association, and this is based upon the data from YRBS is nationally representative across the past two decades. This analysis also shows adolescent trends in sexual behavior over time by gender, race, ethnicity specific grade cohorts, and based upon our findings that we're seeing an upward trend. It is going way faster than I am. Also, if you remember the chart that we just showed, besides ninth grade white male grade cohorts, those grade cohorts in ninth grade experienced the highest increase in the proportion of the prevalence rates of sexual activity. So from that, we think that providing comprehensive sex education, particularly prior to ninth grade, may have a greater impact in reducing some of these sexual risk behaviors. And lastly, since I've been rushed the whole time by my PowerPoint, we have a few limitations. This was an ecological study, and because of that, it could present ecological fallacies. And also, this study doesn't include all races and ethnicities. This is because the data that was collected from our Asian population, Pacific Islanders, Native Americans or American Indians, the sample sizes were way too small for us to include in this study. And also, this study doesn't include data from younger grades or from a wider range. It only went from 1991 to 2009 and for grades 9th through 12th grade. So it would be interesting possibly to have another study that looked at younger grades. That's me. Thank you.
Okay, just want to give a thank you to all the presenters on the panel. I thought they did a great job. Can we give them another round of applause? Okay, and the floor is now open for questions for any of the presenters.
Right now, we do collect information on transgenders, but surprisingly, out of the 14,000 cases that we have, we only have 77 transgender cases in EHARs. So I know that, well, we've been working with CDC in trying to update the case report forms to include transgenders. It is collected right now locally. Right now, we just don't have high numbers at all. We do a lot of focus groups and with transgender individuals to try to understand any barriers that they do have in receiving care, getting HIV tested. So we do have information on them, but as far as the number of cases in the district, it's just really low. Well, we try to use BRFS data, but that's an estimate. Like with MSM, we just don't have a denominator. We only have an estimate. Yes, I briefly spoke about it, but right now we are able to go into all the DC public schools and do HIV and STD training as well as screening. So We've done the school-based screening program for four years now, but HIV testing was just implemented in the FY 2011 school year. So they do receive HIV screening as well as education in the DC public schools. We haven't been able to penetrate the charter schools as of yet, but we're still working on that at the moment. Well, the DC Department of Health, we're only allowed to go into the school one day out of the year. And unfortunately, it disrupts two periods of their classes to get the education training as well as the SCD and HIV screening. So it's as comprehensive as we can get it in an hour and a half of our program.